Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Do I see it is crossing 72, 74 mark, which recently happened anytime soon? I'm actually not sure. I think it will go to 70, but I still believe that in summer, we're going to see a little pull-in, and around may not be 20% for Bitcoin, maybe 5 to 10% for Bitcoin, like early 60s. If we are very lucky for the buy side, because I'm going to buy if it goes down to late 50s. But that's it. But maybe a bigger pull-in for the ETH and the other altcoins. But that's what I'm thinking, that the real all-time high for this cycle is probably Q3, Q4.
It's Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024, and this is Markets Daily, a show where we get into the minds of the smartest and most experienced investors, traders, analysts, CEOs, VCs, people who have a smart or hot take on what's going on in the crypto markets. I'm Jen Sanasi. Before we get into our discussion today, let's take a look at what's going on in those markets. Bitcoin remains largely unchanged this morning, around $66,000. The largest cryptocurrency by market cap's 200-day moving average is approaching a record high, signaling some strong bullish momentum. It appears on its way to surpass its previous peak, which is noteworthy because past data shows us that the most intense phase of the bullish cycle unfolds after the average surpasses its previous peak to new lifetime highs. If we now look at the CoinDesk 20 today, only 2 out of the 20 assets are trading higher. Now, while the Bitcoin trend indicator has turned into an uptrend, the Ether trend indicator is in a downtrend and has been for the last week or so. With all of these mixed signals, we are trying to make sense of this morning. We're going to bring in now Delta Blockchain Fund founder and GP, Kavita Gupta. Welcome back to CoinDesk.
Hey, Jen. So good to see you.
All right, what do you make of all of this? I just mentioned that the 200-day moving average for Bitcoin is looking like it might break a new record. It might set a new lifetime high. What does this mean for Bitcoin? What do you think?
You know, Bitcoin is gonna have a very unique cycle, like, right? Because every time in the past, 4 times that the Bitcoin halving has happened, we did not have Bitcoin ETF, the legacy or the acceptance from the multi-trillion dollar economy. So this time, as soon as we see Bitcoin going a little bit down in like early 60, 61, 62, which has happened 2 blips because of the geopolitical situations, we saw so much of buy orders instead of sell orders that the Bitcoin has picked up again. Do I see it is crossing 72, 74 mark, which recently happened anytime soon? I'm actually not sure. I think it will go to 70, but I still believe that in summer, we're going to see a little pull-in, and around may not be 20% for Bitcoin, maybe 5 to 10% for Bitcoin, like early 60s. If we are very lucky for the buy side, because I'm going to buy if it goes down to late 50s. But that's it. But maybe a bigger pull-in for the ETH and the other altcoins. But that's what I'm thinking, that the real all-time high for this cycle is probably Q3, Q4.
Leading up to the halving and after the halving, everyone has been looking at prior halvings, trying to figure out what's going to happen next. But there have only been three. So do you think that's enough data points to actually look at and predict what's going to happen next?
For Bitcoin, we can't predict this time because we, as I said, we never have such a supply, such a demand from, first of all, such a demand from ETFs, which has been amazing. Secondly, in the first two cycles, the Bitcoin miners were very small. We didn't have out of the art, like such high performance, so much of infra operational capital included miners, which did change in the last cycle a little bit, but people have been, because of ETF demand, most of the miners were ready. They had the capital to be ready to accept the lower fees or the difficulty of halving. So I feel like this cycle is going to be very unique, but also going to be the benchmark going forward after 4 years when we're going to have the halving.
I want to talk about that demand for the ETF because two people have come on this show prior, Marcus Thielen and Jan Van Eck, and they've both said that we're focusing too much on this demand for the ETF. They've said that a lot of Bitcoin interest, a lot of people who are buying Bitcoin are coming from the European trading hours. And so we're maybe misaligning on what's actually driving the price of Bitcoin. It might not be this insane interest in the ETF that we like to talk about in the media so much. It sounds like you maybe disagree. It sounds like you think there is a lot of demand for the ETF and we're going to see that continue.
So when I say the demand because of ETF, it's not only the US citizens or the institutions which are buying because of ETF. It basically overall in the market and the globe sends a legitimacy signals. So even if you go deeper down, one level down onto European demands, it is also the private wealth managers of big family offices sitting in Africa and Asia and Middle East who are placing order from Switzerland and London. And I just recently came back from Kenya and Dubai. And the family offices, which back in 17, 18, or even 21, as latest, have invited me to speak to their family forums and YPO networks, are actually now owns Bitcoin for the first time. So I do think that this is just the ripple effect of that Bitcoin ETF precedence, which has been set by US and accepted by the rest of the world.
Okay, outside of Bitcoin, what else do you have your eyes on? Any interesting alts out there?
I'm a big ETH. I don't want to call the word maxi.
Are you an ETH maxi?
No.
I feel like you are. I feel like the maxis say, I don't want to say I'm a maxi.
I don't want to say I'm an ETH long believer. Let me say that. Maxi is a very crypto Twitter war word now. I don't want to get into that. I'm a big believer in ETH because of technology, because of so much happening in ETH. I think even the mainstream media has stopped talking about it. Like the latest account abstraction wallet upgrade, which just came out on Ethereum, is just going to be game changing with respect to the permissions and how do we look at accounts. Apart from ETH, which continues to be my big love in life, I'm getting excited about in L2s, of course, Polygon is another one I'm a huge believer in. Optimism is doing good with OP stack, but I want to see how Arbitrum DeFi ecosystem is literally killing everyone else's DeFi ecosystem. So big on Arbitrum. In the new L1s, Aptos, do want to give a shout out to Aptos, especially with how they're doing gaming with Animoca and getting a lot of metaverses and a lot of gaming solutions. Super interesting for me. Along with Aptos, say, I think the parallel EVM ecosystem is going to be, should redefine how DeFi and the fee plus the time combination can work. Honestly. So I'm excited to see how Sei is going to set up the precedent and if any other new chains, maybe Monad or bunch of Admega, bunch of them which are upcoming, which are far away from the mainnet, still can take it to the next level.
Now, Kavita, I know that you are an ETH maxi of sorts, and one of the big narratives has been around staking and restaking. Do you think that this is something that's going to continue for the rest of the year? And how do you see that unfolding?
staking has proven its mettle. It has been there for the last 4-5 years. Liquid restaking with SSV and Rocket Pool has proven its security and mettle. My doubt, and I hope I am 100% wrong in this, is the security of restaking. You have multi-billion dollar protocols coming on top of EigenLayer, which just recently, less than a month, got launched. Hasn't proven its security value, its data availability layer, but now you have so much billion of dollars each staked on it. And when you have only 4 or 5 protocols doing so much of each stake using the security of something which we still have to be proven, I get a little nervous. And on top of that, yes, you have good players, but you also have bad players. The type of which we are getting, which is reminds me of Luna Faces, which is like you take one ETH as a collateral and you can just keep on looping and buy and sell and buy and it'll collateral to the level that you are sitting on 100 ETH collateral with from just one real ETH collateral on restaking on EigenLayer is what really makes me nervous. So I'm excited about this narrative, but I want to really hopefully see it playing safely and no house of cards burning down here.
It's interesting the way you describe that. And if you're thinking about it like that, I mean, do you think that regulators are watching closely and thinking the same thing? We've seen the SEC come after exchanges in the United States for staking products. We haven't really seen anything when it comes to restaking in that narrative and these kinds of products being available to American citizens. Do you see a regulatory hurdle for these types of protocols moving forward?
First of all, by the time SEC comes, the whole narrative would have played it over next 1 year. And if anything has to go down, would have already gone down. Secondly, I do believe that a lot of those products are not actually allowing US citizens to participate, but the rest of the world is doing ultimately, right? But I think beyond regulatory, I think now as an industry, we should take security much more seriously, seeing how synthetic tokens have not really worked, how collateral has to be very strong, you know. And so I'm a little nervous about it. I'm very happy for market and the technology to prove me wrong, but I still feel we're going to see, this could be a trigger for the downward of the whole crypto market early next year or somewhere. And I'm crossing my finger that it doesn't end up being.
I know some products aren't available to American citizens, but I think what we've seen in the past is it takes a handful of American citizens to gain access somehow, and the regulators are coming for you. Okay, I mean, you talk to a lot of people in the space. Is this kind of, a growing maybe consensus amongst people you're talking about? And when from an investor or trader perspective, what should they be aware of when it comes to these types of products?
I think as an investor from the VC side, a lot of investors have been talking about it for last couple of months, have been talking to each other, like, what do we think? And this is like even before the launch of EigenLayer. We all are crossing our fingers. We want all the security people to prove us wrong, but we don't see a big security push or like a support ecosystem saying, no, this is really good. So we are waiting to watch that. Now, with respect to trading perspective, of course, it's a good trading game as any other narrative for restaking. It is already too hyper built in. But I think the bull cycle is still far. So I'm sure there is a 30-40% squeeze still there. Said that, this if you hold it longer, I am concerned that this could also be the reason for a big downturn churn.
So proceed with caution.
Yes, 100%.
You mentioned a bunch of different projects there. If you had to pick three that investors, traders should be keeping their eye on right now, what three would you say?
Oh, man. That's a tough one because if it's for traders, then it's also combines not only technology or the projects which are building on, which as a VC we look at, but now we also have a liquid token fund. So from that perspective, I feel you also have to look at unlocks. So bullish on Arbitrum on technology, not sure how many unlocks are about to happen in the bull market. So where does the price go? But if you're looking just price, I would say I'm very bullish on Say and Aptos. And that's what I would say. Not a financial advice, guys. Don't buy just because I said do your homework, but I'm bullish on that.
Okay. And I want to talk about the ETH ETF approval in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that on this show. Recently, the approval happened recently, and you just said that the approval for the spot Bitcoin ETF in the United States signaled this acceptance, a wider acceptance of Bitcoin. Do you think that the approval of the ETH ETF in Hong Kong is going to signal that same thing for Ether, or is it going to take an approval by the SEC in the United States to do the same thing for Ether?
I think for the global markets, US has always been that big benchmark, right? So definitely it would be. But Hong Kong giving ETH approval, because ETH is so big in Asia and the markets around it, just makes it easy for a lot of people to hold it. Everyone expected ETH to like really go up into the 4K mark after the ETH approval news coming from Hong Kong. It's very interesting that has not really happened, because we still see a much more orders on Bitcoin. But I do think that's a very positive sign. Now, is that equivalent to US? I don't think so.
All right. And I want to just tell everyone, I was excited for you to come on the show because you have very strong opinions, I would say, on AI tokens and the intersection of AI and blockchain. And it's just been this narrative that has really taken over the space. And as someone who sits in your position, how are you looking at projects that are in the crypto space that are now incorporating AI, some of the AI tokens? Like, how closely are you watching them? How important are they to your investment thesis?
We spent a lot of time on AI thesis, and I want to say these are my personal opinions. I don't want any of my VC friends whom we deal with or love to feel completely we are on AI on blockchain. My biggest problem with AI on blockchain is narrative plays, right? But how much clean data do we even have to build models? First of all, there is a big scarcity of clean data sets. I mean, have we forgotten indexing solutions, which are supposed to be actually really good, but are such non-sexy terms that nobody wants to play it as a narrative? We, as a developer, as an individual user, I think data is still so much broken on on-chain. And when I say on-chain, just to give you one scenario, Jen, like today, if I want to just look at all the NFTs data across 5 biggest L1s, let's say, right? And L2s are easy EVM compatible, but even let's put 3 L2s on in the same group. Just getting a common denominator to compare data between Ethereum, Solana, Bitcoin L2s, and let's say Arbitrum or something, it's almost impossible. I have to run nodes myself. I have to spend in 50,000 to 100,000 or even more in running nodes, going the data all the way back for every NFT launch on chain or different platforms, put them together. We try to do that in-house at Delta. And after putting in 2 months of time, energy and money, we were like, okay, we just need to invest into data indexing. So coming back to AI, I think first we have to build up the data sets. Even if you look at the Web2 of the build of AI, it took 15 years to talk about machine learning, to talk about data, putting data together, having cleaner and cleaner data sets, having sanctity check on it. We are sitting on the first step. We don't even have a proper data sanctity check. Most of the time when I'm even looking at CoinGecko data, I have to do one or two more places for new tokens. So what are we building AI on?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting perspective. If we look at Web2, the big Web2 winners in AI are the ones who have been collecting data for a very, very long time. And that is the thesis that this industry is trying to work against. So you bring up a really interesting dichotomy here that we're probably going to have to work through for AI and crypto to work together. On that note, AI tokens, we see them pump every time there's AI news. What do you think that people should know about those? Is it just kind of fun? Is it like watching a meme token and putting your money in to bet on memes, but make sure you get that money out quickly because it's not going to last forever?
Yeah. So AI for data purposes doesn't work, but blockchain providing verification for existing AI data, whether it's for Web2, whether it's for Web3, that narrative works. So I always say blockchain on AI is interesting. AI on blockchain, we are very far away. Now, coming back to tokens, Phil, if you're doing meme coins, then AI tokens are less risky. Right? I mean, meme coin life cycle is 5 days, I guess, right? And that happens 90% on Telegram bots. You don't need, like, my first degen was on a Telegram bot. I forgot the name of the bot, but it's like really cool. And because moving money from my Coinbase or MetaMask from ETH network to Base to Solana to Dune network is just too much friction. And Alfred. So I literally bought my first degen on this Telegram bot, Alfred. So if you're doing that, I think AI tokens still have some technology. If not in this cycle, maybe over 2 years, good builders will continue to build and have a lot of value associated with it. So I would say if you're doing meme coins, AI movement is less risky. It may not give you 1,000x return. It may give you 10x and 15x returns, but it is more valuable. But is the AI as a technology ready to take us over? AI on blockchain? Not sure. Blockchain on AI? Absolutely. I think we are ready.
Kavita, thank you so much for joining Markets Daily, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.